All right, I want you to turn in your Bible actually to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to actually begin by way of introduction to what we're going to see today in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 by a cross-reference that we had last week as we've been coming through and looking at, again, really how Paul and his ministry team of Silas and Timotheus or Timothy minister to the Thessalonians, and how really you have the combination really of what it is as far as sharing the truth of the Word of God, but having a lifestyle that matches that. And so that's so important as we talk about, you know, preaching the Word. Our vision for this year is making sure that our life matches that. We've been seeing that as we've been coming through 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And today we're only going to cover this one verse, and verse 13 is where we left off last week, and really focused in, and the title of this message is Paul's praise. He's praising the Thessalonians because they received the Word of God as the Word of God. Really, that is grammatically what the 1 Thessalonians 2:13 really says, but we're obviously going to dig a little bit deeper as we get into that. But I want you to notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4, which we looked at as far as our vision verse in verse 2, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We talked about the importance of exhortation, encouraging people in the Word of God, but there's also that rebuke and reproof and so forth. But notice what it says in verses 3 and 4, which I want to call your attention to again this week. It says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now this is Paul, again, giving a warning to Timothy as he has this charge for him to preach the Word. And the understanding that Timothy, it's not going to be easy. The time will come. It's interesting that he says that in its future tense at that point. And as we look at it some many years later, it's like we can definitely say that the time is here, that people do not want to endure sound doctrine. Doctrine's not important in a number of churches these days, or just things or divisions, or I want to say a sect that call themselves Christianity, that is not an emphasis on the sound doctrine of the Word of God, but more of just a generalization of, you know, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and, you know, just love God and that sort of thing, and try to live a good life. There's no emphasis on sound doctrine in teaching and equipping people in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, people want to turn away their ears from the truth, as it says, and be turned into fables. They want stories. They want to seek out teachers that's going to scratch their itch in the sense of they only want a spirituality that equates to the lifestyle that they want to live, and so they're seeking out teachers or churches or pastors that will give them exactly what they want, so they don't have to change their lifestyle, anything that is really against truth. They rather turn on the fables. That is the climate, the spiritual climate that we are having to preach the Word in, to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God. And so it is important, and you can see why Paul thanks the God for the Thessalonians so much, because they received the Word of God as the Word of God. Now I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, and we'll read the verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. As I lay down on Facebook, as I've said so many times, that this is probably one of the most important verses in all of the Bible. And there's a lot of verses that are in the Bible. Well, why do I say that? Because of what it says. Verse 13, it says this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. This verse is very important for us to understand and to be able to apply to our life. And so in this one verse, we're going to look at three aspects of it. We're going to look at Paul's gratitude, again, how he was thankful to God for the Thessalonians because, again, they received the Word. Point two is going to be literally God's Word. I mean, this is what we're talking about. It's not the Word of men. It is God's Word. It's not a philosophy. It's not an opinion or anything like that. It's God's truth. It is His Word. And the last thing is we're going to look at is the thing with the growth, talking about how the Word of God can effectively work in you as you believe. In other words, to be able to grow in that. So there's a number of things that we need to cover. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today out of this verse. Father in heaven, I thank you for this verse. I thank you for this time and your word. Lord, I pray that you would just get me out of the way, calm my heart, my mind, a lot of things that are on my heart and on my mind, as you know. Lord, and help me to be able to be a vessel of honor, to be able to be used of you to share the truth of your word in this most important verse and message. Lord, I pray that as your word of God says, that as it goes out, that it would not return void, that it will bear the fruit that is needed and necessary in people's lives that are hearing it or will hear it. Lord, I pray that this message will make a difference in my life, in the lives of those that will hear it. As I've been in my own personal studies and the book of Proverbs and the importance of receiving the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, we see the same thing here in this verse, how the Thessalonians receive the Word of God as the Word of God. And Lord, I pray now all of us that will look and listen, hear, study this verse today, Lord, that it make a difference, Lord, starting with me first. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, let's dig into this. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. The first phrase that it says is, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you receive the not as the word of men. Now, before we continue on here, just understanding that, again, he says, for this cause also, that he's thanking God for them. And we've already seen where Paul has thanked God for them previously. If you go back to chapter 1 and just look down at verses 2 and 3, it says this, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now, if you remember back to that message, which I know is going back to the beginning of this year, January, but one of the things that we saw there, the importance of this, is that the Thessalonians, the reason why Paul was thankful to God for them, is because of the three things or areas that they were working in that were things that are eternal. In verse 3 it says, again, a work of faith. It deals with sharing the faith, sharing the gospel of grace, sharing the truth. Again, really it lays into our vision this year. It says their labor of love. Again, love not just being a feeling or emotion, but a matter of action. Putting the word of God into action. And it says patience of hope. Again, all of this in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the eternal things that they were focused on. Not the temporal, not the physical, but the Thessalonians was focused on the eternal things, the things that we will be rewarded for at the judgment seat of Christ. So Paul was thankful for them because, again, their focus was on the eternal and not the temporal. And so when we look at this verse, we see that Paul is thanking them again. Again, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. And this won't be the last time that we see Paul thanking God for the Thessalonians. We'll see it again in the near future. But again, it says this in verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. So first, they received the word of God. They were willing to listen and hear and to receive it. It wasn't a matter of just going in one ear and out the other. They received it. They kept it. Literally, it's like my devotion this morning as I read Proverbs chapter 3 and Proverbs chapter 4. So often, number of verses that talk about, hear my words, hear my instructions, get wisdom, retain it, keep it, because it is your life. And that's why I think Paul was so thankful for the Thessalonians, because they actually received the word of God. How many of you have actually, trust God to share the truth of the Word of God with people, but most of the time, people don't want to receive it? And then when you get somebody that wants to receive the Word of God, that enjoys being in the Word of God and learning and studying and growing in the Word of God, isn't it something that is so refreshing? This example just comes to mind. I was talking to one of the people that work at the casino just this week at work, and we're talking about, she works at a different place, and they don't have to worry about wearing a mask anymore. And she goes, I wish it was the same here. And it's like, yeah, I wish it was as well. And I commented to her, it's like, it was so great to be able to go to the Y in Pittsburgh and not have to worry about wearing a mask. It felt like freedom, right? That sort of thing. And it's like, it's that same thing when we run across somebody who actually wants to receive the Word of God. And that's what Paul and Silas and Timothy, they were thankful for the Thessalonians because they actually wanted to receive the word. Well, there's another group in the Bible that Paul is very thankful for, in a sense, and understanding the same thing. I want you to go back to Acts chapter 17. And what's interesting about this, we see from what we just read that Paul is very thankful to God for the Thessalonians and that they received the word of God as the word of God. When you go back to Acts chapter 17, we have a situation where Paul and Silas and Timothy, they just come from Thessalonica, from the city of the Thessalonians, and they go to this place called Berea. And the Bereans, they receive the word of God. And I want you to notice what he says here. Now again, he's thankful for the Thessalonians receiving the word of God. But notice what it says here. I want you to pick it up in verse 10. So Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and verse 11. It says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Remember, that's Paul, it's kind of his mode of operation. When he'd go into a different city, he'd go to the synagogue first, you know, being able to have somebody have a basis to the truth and to be able to share the gospel of grace with them. But the reason why they got sent away by night is because there were unbelievers in Thessalonica that came in and started, raising a ruckus and started a riot and persecution and so forth. So they fled out of there. But notice what he says about the Bereans in verse 11. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God," received the word with all readiness of mind, "and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." I mean, this is an incredible testimony and something that should be a testimony in all of our lives today. That we should be ready to receive the word of God with all readiness of mind. Let me have to be mentally ready to receive the word of God. I want to take in the word of God, but not only that, they follow up and study those things out daily, whether those things were so. So when Paul and Silas, when they were preaching the gospel of grace, when they were preaching the word of God, they had a mind ready to receive it, but then they searched the scriptures themselves to make sure that the things that Paul and Silas were preaching were actually truly the word of God. And they had a testimony that they were more noble even those of the Thessalonians, or the Thessalonians. All right? And it's like, and God was thanking, or Paul was thanking God for the Thessalonians for receiving the word of God, the Bereans even more so. And we live in a day and age where people turn away their ears from the truth. I make this analogy all the time, or this comparison all the time, I should say, in dealing with what we're seeing today in just the news and the media of our country. How many people buy into a fable or a story, literally, as opposed to actually believing the truth? People don't want to deal with the truth. Because then they're accountable. They feel like there's something that they got to do about their lives with it. There's decisions that they got to make that they don't want to make. Well, the same thing is happening spiritually today. People do not want to receive it. But we need to be like the Thessalonians. We need to be like the Bereans, that we are of ready mind to receive the word of God and to search it out to make sure those things are true. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. I want to pick up one more aspect before we move on to point 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says this, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." I mean, every time they're praying, they're thanking God for the Thessalonians because of how they received the Word of God. And it says this, "Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men." How many of you have tried sharing the Word of God, and people come back and say, "You know what? Well, that was, the Bible's just written by men. And man sin, and man makes mistakes, so the Bible is a book of mistakes." You know, atheists really love to jump on this. So these are the things that are written by people that were, you know, in the Bronze Age or something like that. They were, you know, hunter-gatherers. I mean, they didn't, you know, they just made up these stories, you know, to be able to try to, you know, work things around how they want to live their life, so forth and so on. How many times have you heard that excuse? "I'm not going to listen to the Bible. It's just men's words." No, it is the very word of God. I shared this example before when I was in college at University of Missouri, Kansas City. I majored in sociology after I majored in music, but switched my majors to sociology, and I had an anthropology professor that asked me one day, "Why is it that you read the Bible? Why is it that you spend time reading the Word?" He was asking me this before class started, and I said, "Because it is the Word of God. It's not the Word of men, it's the Word of God. It's written by more than 40 different authors over a 2,000-year period, and there's no contradictions in it. It is the Word of God. That's why I read it. That's why I spend every day in it. That's why I don't let a day go by that I don't spend time in the Word of God. Reading it, studying it, meditating on it, and I need to do it even more so." It's the Word of God. It's not the Word of men. I want you to try to look at another aspect of this as well. I want you to go back to Psalm 1. Psalms in the middle of your Bible, biggest book of the Bible. And I want you to look at Psalm 1, just the first couple of verses, because really, it sets the tone, really, of the whole book. I probably have a couple of actually different more references out of the book of Psalms today, but I want you to look at Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. It says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." All right, I would, if I had time, go into verse 3. It talks about basically how they're going to prosper, how they're going to be fruitful. But drawing your attention to verse 1, first and foremost, and I know I preached the message on this, so it's in our archives somewhere. But it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." The ungodly is somebody that is simply this, somebody who is without God. Sometimes we use that word and we think it's the most hideous person on the face of the earth. No, ungodly is somebody that doesn't have a relationship with God. And you're going to be blessed. You're going to be happy. You're going to be fulfilled and benefited in your life if you're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Instead, that you're walking and meditating in the things and delighting in the Word of God, like the Thessalonians. And it's interesting how it says how they, you know, they, again, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. Now, I'm talking about standing in the way of sinners. It's not like, well, there's a sinner. I'm just going to stand and stop him from where he's going. Your stance in your life is based on what a sinner does. A sinner, somebody does that which is against the Word of God. And what's interesting is that first, you don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and then you don't want to stop and stand in the way of sinners. That means you're not moving anymore. You're not progressing anymore. You're doing that which is wrong. And then the third thing it says, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Somebody who is scornful is not somebody who doesn't believe in God. It's somebody that is mad at God and is not going to do anything according to His Word. That's a scornful person. They're mad at God. And notice that I would say digression. Walking, standing, and then you're sitting down mad at God. Why? Because you're not receiving the Word of God as the Word of God. You want to be blessed, want to be happy? Verse 2. But contrast, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, they're receiving the Word of God. They're receiving it. Not just listening to it, in one ear, out the other, they're receiving it. And it's not the word of men. It is the very words of God. We stop. How often do we actually think about that? Especially in our country, in our society, that we've got so many Bibles around. I don't know about you, but I if you ask me, Charles, how many Bibles do you have in your house? I could not give you a number. Because I have so many. I forgot I had a different Bible in my car on vacation. All right? It's like I brought a Bible with me, but I have another one that's in the back seat of my car. I got Bibles I've forgotten about. All right? We have so many. And there used to be a time where, and there's some places still in this world, that they don't, you might have a village or a city, don't have a Bible. There are times back here in Thessalonians, it's not like everybody had a copy of the Word of God. It wasn't like in the form that we have it now. It was some scroll or a letter that Paul wrote. Everybody didn't have access to it. We forget that the very Bible, the very book you have in your hands, the book of books, is the very words of God. We forget about it, or we take it for granted. You go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. "For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." That's why we say grammatically, they received the word of God as the word of God. It wasn't the words of Paul. It wasn't words of the apostles. It wasn't the words of men. It's the very word of God. And you notice it says there, "but as it is in truth." The Word of God is truth. Now, I mentioned this before recently. It's like, I hate that term, "well, this person spoke his truth or her truth." It's almost like there's different truths that are out there. There's only truth, and then there's error. Right? There is no his truth. Her truth, No, it is the truth of the Word of God. If there's only one His truth, and that would be the His referring to God. All right? That's the only His truth. Right? It's not a matter of what you believe or your opinion or anything like that. It is the true Word of God. This is what's true. Not what I think. True. Years ago, I used to get in this debate with an atheist. Guy lives in Pennsylvania, and through Facebook, I mean, this went on for years, and different things. And I remember when we first started these conversations, and he'd ask a question, I respond with the Word of God. He's like, no, I don't want to hear that. Charles, I want to know what you believe. What do you think? And I would tell him over and over again, this is what I think. This is what I believe. Because my opinion and my thoughts won't mean anything and won't do anybody any good. It's a matter of what the Word of God thinks, and I need to have that even more so. Less me, more Him. Just like John the Baptist. He must increase, I must decrease. That's the same thing as far as the Word of God. It's the truth. And when Jesus was praying, I might as well turn there. If you go to the Gospel of John real quick, I want you to go to Gospel of John chapter 17 and verse 17. This is truly the Lord's Prayer because it's the Lord praying before He's going to be led away into to be betrayed. John chapter 17 and verse 17. The Lord is praying for His disciples. He's praying for things that are going to be happening and even in the future. And He says this. He prays this now in verse 17. So John 17, verse 17 says this. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We're just saying the praise of the hymn, sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. All right, we're talking about being sanctified, set aside for God. Jesus, the only way I can be sanctified is through the truth, which is the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Anything that's not the word of God is not truth. I don't care what religious writing it may be. People want to talk about, you know, the Quran, or they want to talk about the Book of Mormon, or they want to talk about the, you know, Sanskrit or whatever as far as India is concerned or whatever. I mean, Sumerian code, all this other stuff, other religious writings, they are not truth. They are error. They are lies. To take people away from the truth. They are fables. They are stories. There's only one truth. And that is God's Word. Now, before everybody starts thinking about, well, that's just not inclusive, and that's, you know, why is it, how is that the truth, and so forth and so on. Again, Jesus Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John chapter 14 and verse 6. He is the only way. But it's the same God that says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's open to everyone in the world. That's not exclusive, that's inclusive. Truth. I guarantee you, if I said, I'm going to give you a $100 bill, and I gave each one a $100 bill, but they're all counterfeit, you're probably going to be like, well, this is not going to do me any good. And, of course, I would be in trouble. But there's only one true $100 bill. Right? Everything else is a counterfeit. It may look like the same and so forth and all that, but it's a counterfeit. There's only one true $100 bill, or a dollar bill, or whatever denomination you want to name, that's been minted and laid out as far as the United States of America is concerned. All right? Everything else that's not made according to that way is a counterfeit, even though it may look the same. There's a lot of counterfeit religions, a lot of counterfeit writings that are out there. There's only one truth. God's Word. That is what's going to make a difference. Again, Paul is thanking them, or thanking God for them receiving the Word of God, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And we live in a day and age, again, that the priority is not placed on the Word of God like it needs to, even though God Himself in His Word exalts the Word of God even above His very name. And you guys know the reference and probably have it memorized, but I want you to go back to Psalm go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse 2. I'm going to give you another reference in Psalms as well, but let's do Psalm 138 and verse 2 first and foremost. It points to how God has exalted His Word even above his name. And there's only one name given among men where men must be saved, as it says in Acts chapter 4, I think down in verse 12. But in Psalm 138, you look down in verse 2, it says this, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now that is putting some importance in the Word of God. That God has exalted and magnified His Word even above His name. And there's only one name that people can get saved. There's only one name that people are going to bow and confess that He's Lord. And that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God's Word is exalted or magnified even above His name. Alright? It doesn't mean that we worship the Bible. I don't worship this Bible. Alright? Something happens to this Bible, I go by and get another one. Alright? But the issue is that the Word of God needs to be magnified above all else. It needs to take priority in our lives and that we actually receive it. We should have a love for it, like we saw in Psalm 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Since you're in the neighborhood of Psalms, go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and I want you to look down starting in verse 97. Starting on the stanza, if you have a Bible that has like these Hebrew headings under each stanza, you know, Psalm 119, 176 verses, but they're divided into 22 different stanzas that are 8 verses apiece, and they have a Hebrew letter that is the alphabet, and this one is Mem, which actually means water. And water in a Bible is a picture of the Word of God. And it says this starting in verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Well, that seems like you're bragging, but the reality is that, again, David, the probable author of this psalm, then the reason why he has more understanding than all his teachers is because of what it says next. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I'm meditating, I'm thinking on the Word of God. Last verse, verse 100, says this, I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. That's what we're talking about, really receiving the Word of God, is keeping the Word of God. That's what's going to allow you to have the wisdom that you need, even more than others, in a sense, for the ancients. And really, to be honest with you, we should all understand the Word of God better than those that were back in Genesis, let's say. We have a completed Word of God, and we're near the end of this thing, as far as getting ready for the Lord to come back again, than the beginning. We have it all right here. So we should understand more. We should definitely be wiser than the enemies that are out there. Why? Because we have the very words of God, so easy, so simple for us to open up and read and study and meditate on any time of the day, any time of the night. I want to give you one more reference before we move on. I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians. We're in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and look at the first couple of verses there. Again, Paul's thanking the Thessalonians because, or thanking God, because the Thessalonians, what? They received the Word of God, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And notice this prayer that Paul has, a prayer request that he's asking the Thessalonians to pray for them for, in chapter 3. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 1, it says this, Finally, brethren, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Well, that is definitely true. But you notice that he's praying that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Again, the Thessalonians, they received the word of God, and they glorified the word of God. And Paul is having them to pray that they would find others, that would be the same thing. The word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified. Now think about that. In the day and age that we live in, it's like, man, that's a prayer that we all need to be praying for one another. When we go to work, out and about in the community, family gatherings, whatever the case is, and we have opportunity for the word of the Lord to have free course and be glorified, just like with the Thessalonians. Because we live in a day and age that people are doing what? Turning away their ears from the truth. Being turned on the fables, the stories. But our charge, as we learned last week and saw last week, that we still need to do what? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. We need to, make foolproof of our ministry. Endure afflictions. All right? Do the work of an evangelist. Make foolproof of our ministry, as it says down in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. We still need to do that, but praying that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified in people's lives, and that people just don't turn their ears away from the truth. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Let's pick up the last point. We've seen where Paul's gratitude for the Thessalonians because they received the Word of God as the Word of God. We looked in depth as far as the importance of the Word of God and how it needs to be glorified, how it needs to be exalted, and how the Word of God can have us to grow. Again, let's read from the beginning of the verse. For this cause also thank we God, without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, as I started this message, I said this is perhaps one of the most important verses in the Bible, because of what it says. The word of God will only effectively or work for you, through you, if you do what? Believe it. If you don't believe it, then this word is not going to do you any good. The word that spoke us into existence, the whole of God's creation into existence, everything that we see, things that we don't see, everything that is there, and that's God's creation, it was spoken in existence by His word. In the beginning, God said. All right? His word is powerful. That create those things that be not as though they are. I mean, that spoke everything into existence. I mean, do we understand how powerful God's word is? The very words of God we hold in our hands, the same word that spoke everything into existence. The power of that word that can change people's lives. That changed their course, that when we accept that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, changed our course from an eternity in hell to be with Him in heaven for all of eternity. That sealed us with the Holy Spirit of God and gave us the ability to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, to be able to do the things that God has given us to do. That same work. But if we don't actually believe it, then this book, His Word, does us absolutely no good. Might as well be reading a road atlas. It's like younger people are like, what's a road atlas? Well, back in the day, when we didn't have the GPS, and we were going on a trip, we had to have the maps and search the maps, and we hope that they're up to date. You don't see that, I don't think, anymore. Can you even go into a convenience store and even see a road atlas anymore? Do they exist anymore? The Word of God is only going to work effective in our lives if we actually believe it. Have faith in it. Receive it. That's what's going to allow us to be able to grow. I've got a couple of references for you. I want you to go just back to Ephesians chapter 3, first and foremost. Chapter 3 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7. Paul, context, I'm talking about laying out, again, the gospel and how neither Jew or Gentile, I mean, how the Gentiles are included in the same body. We're going to talk more about that at the end of this month as I will have a message, special message on dealing with biblically looking at race relations and what the Word of God has to say about it and Christianity and all that, because we see a lot of that stuff going on in the news that Satan likes to use to divide people and cause problems. Well, we're going to see what the Word of God has to say about that. But Paul's laying that out, but I want you to notice what he says in verse 7. Because as we look at this aspect of the Word of God that's going to work effectively, going to allow us to grow, I want you to understand this, especially in the context of our vision for this year in preaching the Word of God, sharing the truth of the Word of God. It says this in verse 7, Ephesians 3:7, whereof I was made a minister. I want you to understand that. I want you to grab a hold of that. It says, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Now, this word effectual or effective is in the Word of God a number of times. All right, I'm only picking out a couple of verses to be able to look at this, but so we see it from First Thessalonians 2:13, how the Word of God is going to work effectually in our lives if we're believing. And you notice here where Paul says, you know what? I was made a minister. That term, that phrase, and what Paul is saying is like, you know what? I wasn't born naturally to minister the Word of God. Because I know a lot of people have this. There's no way that God can use me. There's no way that I can share the Word of God. I don't know enough, or I'm not a good speaker. We can come up with all these excuses, really, is what they are, of why we don't allow God and His Word to work through us to teach others. Paul says, I wasn't born this way. All right? I referenced a Lady Gaga song. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't reference that song, because that's a bad song, really. Anyway, as far as excuses of why we do what we do in our lifestyle. Well, I was born this way. Yeah, we're all born a sinner. But Paul says, I wasn't born a minister. I wasn't born knowing how to do this. And matter of fact, being born again in Christ is not like you're just automatically ready to minister. Now, again, Paul, in some sense, really, Paul is saying this, but we know Paul's background, too. He was a Pharisee. My point is that no matter what your background is, no matter what you knew about the Word of God before you got saved or after all that, it does not matter. What matters is that we need to allow God to make us a minister. We need to allow God's Word to work in our heart, because when you look at this verse in verse 7, it says, whereof I was made a minister, how? According to the gift of the grace of God. Now hold it there. Was Paul the only one that got the gift of the grace of God? Was he the only one? Of course not. That gift is for everybody. Alright? And anybody. And if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you accepted the gift of grace of God. We have the same grace. Paul doesn't have any kind of different grace than anybody else. I don't have any kind of different grace than anybody else. And I say it all the time. Trust me. If God can use me to declare and to preach and teach His Word and make a difference in somebody's life, He can use anybody and everybody. Because what? It's the same grace. The difference is Paul allowed God to make him a minister. And how did he do that? Not by Paul's power. What does it say at the end of verse 7? Given unto me by the effectual working of His power. And that's the power of His Word. The same Word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, let there be light. The power of His Word. Paul allowed God to take His effective Word to make him a minister to be able to share the Word of God with others. And it's the same message, it's the same vision that we have for Faith Bible Church, and anybody associated with our church and then listen to it online or whatever, or anybody who wants to just listen to the Word of God, it's the same thing that we all have the opportunity to be able to do, is to allow God to work in our lives. It's just that we have to allow Him to do that. I want you to go over to chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians and look down at verse 16. That famous passage of Scripture that really should be the cornerstone of any local church. And dealing with laying out the truth of the Word of God, making sure people are growing, being perfected in their relationship with the Lord through the Word of God. But I want you to notice what it says here in verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it says this. It says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's growing. The body, how is the body going to grow? The local church, how is it going to grow? It's going to be effectively growing, as it says here, which every joint supplieth. It says, again, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Everybody, every person in the body of Christ is doing what the Lord has laid out, allowing God's Word to effectively work in their lives to grow them, to be able to grow others. That's what we're talking about. And it's interesting, it says every joint. You know, it's like, I don't know how many times I have read this verse, studied this verse, preached this verse, used it as a cross reference like I am today, but there's a word in there that really highlights for me a different aspect of this, and that's the word joint. I'm not talking about the ganja joint. We know that, all right? Our body and our joints. Our joints allow our body to be able to move, to do things. And it's like, as I have been struggling dealing with my knee joint and my right joint is not supplying everything it's supposed to supply. And it affects my walk. It limits some things that maybe I can used to be able to do. And working to try to get it back, to do something, to help it out, whatever. So it doesn't, basically I'm trying to avoid a knee replacement. That's what I'm trying to avoid. But because this joint is not doing what it's been created to do, it's affecting really the rest of my body. Now think about it. In most churches, no matter the size, usually it's 20% of the people do the 80% of the work. No matter what group it seems like it is, it's like 80% don't do anything. You want to know a good example? And again, in the news that we're seeing, how many help wanted signs are there out there? And nobody wants to go to work. That's what local churches are like. And God means for every joint, every member to be able to grow, to take the Word of God, allow it to work in their lives so that they can turn around and help someone else out. But what usually happens, it comes down to the few. And, I'm telling you, as Christians, we want to complain about how things are in the world, how things are in our country, and so forth and so on, and all that. And that might be right, and that might be well, and so forth and all that. But imagine what our country would be if everybody in a local church actually believed the Word of God, received the Word of God as the Word of God, and allow the Word of God to effectively work in their life. You imagine what our country might be like if that was the case? As Christians, we love to talk, all those sinners and those lost people and all this blah, 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 blah. We need to get more Christians. If Christians would receive the Word of God as the Word of God and have it work effectively in their life to grow them so they can turn around and grow others, can you imagine maybe what the United States might be like? It's easy to complain about what somebody else is not doing, as opposed to turning around and looking inward and say, hey, what am I doing? What am I not doing? What do I need to do better? How do I need to have God's Word to work in my life? I know you guys don't see it, especially right now, but it's like I am battling myself and my flesh about the things that I'm like, I need to work on better. Like I said, this message is for me, first and foremost. How am I allowing God's Word to work in my life? It's easy for me to look and say, oh, I wish we had this or this, that, and the other, and so forth and so on. It's like, wait a minute. Am I allowing God's Word to really work effectively in my life? Or am I kind of coasting? You see, it's not just me preaching and harping to everybody else. It's really me preaching to me. Unless there's some natural disaster, I die. I know that I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. When I get up or at my break at work, whatever, I know I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. Unless something drastically goes wrong in my psyche, you can bet that I am going to review and study for every Sunday's message. I am going to spend time in the Word of God for me. That's going to happen. It's habit for me. It's strange for me not to do that. But just because I do that doesn't mean that I'm doing and I'm everything that I need to be doing. Am I really allowing God's Word to sink in? Am I really receiving it? Am I really allowing it to grow me in all areas of my life? Or am I just being satisfied with the status quo? I'm going to pose that same question to you. Are we just good that I'm saved? Are we good that I come to church on Sunday? Are we good that I read the Word of God a little bit when I find time? You think that's all that God wants? God wants to make us ministers. He wants us to grow. And it's the Word of God that's going to allow us to do that. But the Word of God is only going to do that and be effective in our life if we do what? As it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, if we actually believe it. I'll leave you with this one reference, and we'll be done. You should know it. Know it quite well. It's part of our logo of our church. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We talk about believing the Word. It's the same thing as faith, putting your faith in it. You might say, I don't have enough faith. I just don't know if I can believe. And, you know, I just don't know. Look. You want more faith? More Word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You don't have enough faith to believe that God can use you? Then guess what you need? Here's my spiritual doctor prescription for you today. You need more Word. Read two more verses, call me in the morning. Alright? More Word. As you spend time in the Word, it's going to increase your faith. More time in the Word. It's like, again guys, I try to be open and honest with you. And maybe it's like, well, you don't want to see your pastor struggle or something like that, but I'm telling you, I'm a human being just like any one of you. And it's like the times that I struggle with my faith or how I'm doing or I look down on myself or I'm this, you know, whatever. It's like the very thing I need to do is spend more time in the Word. Again, I've referenced my devotion this morning in Proverbs chapter 3 and chapter 4 a couple of times already, and I want to end it with this. It's like everything I'm reading, it's like you need to retain it. You need to hold on to it. You need to get it. You need to just, I want it to be every aspect of my life. You guys know that I do karate, and it's like sometimes my knee joint prevents a lot of what I want to do, but I still, to the best of my ability, train and try to train at least 6 days a week in karate because I want that repetition of doing it over and over again. So if, God forbid, I ever had to defend myself or defend the public in my job or just in my life and that sort of thing, that I am able to do it, that I just respond to the situation. I don't even have to think about it. It just happens because of the effort and the energy and the work of just doing it over and over and over and over and over again for years. Well, the same thing is my desire and want it to happen spiritually. A situation presents itself, I just automatically respond by what the Word of God says. And the only way that happens is what? Every day, being in the Word, meditating in the Word. I need to do that more. I need to actually think and meditate in the Word of God more. I need to retain it. I need to hold on to it. And because if you don't, as they always say with no matter what, if you don't use it, you what? You lose it. That is the truth in everything. I don't care if it's sports. I don't care if it's music. I don't care what, memorizing scripture. I don't care what it is. If you don't take the effort to continue to do it and retain it and to keep it, if you don't use it, you will lose it. That's why the Word of God, especially in Proverbs, says over and over again, retain, keep it, get it, you know, don't divert from it. Don't look to the left or to the right. Stay in the path over and over and over and over again. It is thy life. Not a part of your life. It is your life. If you want to make a difference in our lives, you want to see us grow, you want to see the potential of our nation changing for the better and not for the worse, let every Christian actually receive the Word of God as the Word of God, allow God to work effectively in your life, to take the Word of God, actually believe it, believe it. If it says it, believe it. Apply it to your life. That's where we're going to see change. Not only in our own lives, the lives of others. That is why Paul was so thankful to God for the Thessalonians. Because they received the Word of God as the Word of God, and it worked effectively in their life. Why? Because they actually believed the Word of God as the Word of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for this verse. so much in it. And again, to me, it's still one of the most important verses in the Bible for us. It's not enough just to know it. It's not enough just to even have it memorized. It's not even enough to even understand what it says. If we don't apply it, it's not going to do us any good. And your whole word won't do us any good if we don't actually apply it. Lord, I pray that you help me to do that in every aspect of my life. Lord, the world is against the word. Our flesh, of course, is against the word of God. Satan is against the word of God. And those are the enemies that are out there. Just as the psalmist said, the enemies are ever with us. But how do we deal with those enemies? Oh, loving your word. Meditating in your word. Keeping your word. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to focus on the eternal, not the temporal. Lord, make us ministers. Lord, that we would allow you to take your word and work in our lives. There's no other thing to really pray. I just pray that this would be real to all of us, starting with me and everyone that hears this message, will hear this message, but the day that they would decide, you know what? I need to receive the Word of God as the Word of God. I need to believe it. I need to put it into practice. When we do that, then we're going to see a difference. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.